The Guardian.
Good morning from The Guardian's Brexit HQ. This is Brexit Means, and I'm John Henley. Today we're going to look at the vexed question of EU residents' rights in the UK. Now, it's been reported that the government is apparently deliberately trying to discourage EU nationals now from applying for permanent residence in Britain, largely because it's worried about being swamped with applications from worried people after the triggering of Article 50. That's the EU's exit mechanism. Rather than moving straight to filling out an 85-page permanent residency form, EU citizens are instead being asked to sign up for emailed news alerts that'll tell them if and when they need to take any action over their UK residence. But there is no guarantee of any kind of news status for the 3 million EU nationals who are in the UK. Meanwhile, Keir Starmer, who is the opposition Labour Party's Brexit spokesman, has just promised that a Labour government, should one be elected in June's UK general elections, would offer a unilateral guarantee to EU residents in Britain that they could stay and retain their rights. Also today, Sophie Innert-Felt, who is an MEP in Brussels, leading the European Parliament's Task Force on Citizens' Rights after Brexit, has apparently described a UK minister as a fantasist after he wrote to her and insisted that European nationals in Britain were being treated properly and fairly. With me to discuss all this is The Guardian's Brexit correspondent Lisa O'Carroll, who over the past few weeks and months has met and written about an awful lot of people who could reasonably say they were not being treated properly and fairly by the UK authorities. So, Lisa, can we start first with where actually are we at the moment? Where is the Home Office on this? There's a lot of confusion out there, and the Home Office has come in for an awful lot of stick about what EU nationals actually need to do right now. What is the situation?
The Home Office situation has not changed one bit, despite a report on the front page of the FT this morning saying that the guidelines had changed. I'll come back to that in a minute. The Home Office have maintained the same line since the referendum, and it is EU nationals do not need to register. They do not need to fill in this 85-page application form. That is all true. However, the Home Office have not pointed out that the government did make the application for permanent residency a prerequisite for anybody, including EU nationals, who want to apply for British citizenship. So it's not being completely open and transparent on its website. So in relation to the story today on this update of the Home Office guidelines, in fact, all it is a restatement of the status in relation to EU citizens in Article 50. The Home Office website says that EU nationals need not fill in any form. But what's interesting, I think, because it's a reach out to EU citizens to get their data, their email addresses, namely, is the next paragraph, which says, if you want to get documentation, go here. But if you want to find out what to do next, sign up for email alerts. And that's all it is. And in a way, that is where the Home Office should be going. Because the fact is, as the Home Office Minister says in Robert Goodwill in the letter to the MEP, is that EU nationals in Britain, unlike other countries, do not have to go to a town hall or to a county council or a local council to register their residency here. So the Home Office do not have data on those 3 million. They do not know who they are. So this is the first attempt. That's a good thing, but I wish it wasn't presented as a sincere attempt to deter EU nationals from filling in that PR form. I think it is nothing of the sort.
But why has there been so much criticism of the system then? Is the whole problem really the fact that the same form is being used for EU nationals applying for permanent residence as non-EU nationals? Is that really what it boils down to?
Yes, that's right. I think the permanent residency form, most immigration lawyers would say, is designed to deter people coming to the UK, which is all in line with Theresa May's policy as she was as Home Secretary and now Prime Minister. It's 85 pages for that reason.
So that would be for people applying from India
or China.
Okay.
So it's not fit for purpose. It's not designed for purpose. And the fact is, EU citizens have had rights to be here, to be perfectly lawfully living and working here. You can't retrofit the law and say, after Brexit Day, those rights disappear. I mean, the government would just be faced with a huge number of legal cases in the High Court, whatever. So in the void, in the vacuum, EU citizens who are worried. Maybe they may be married to a British spouse, they may have children, they may just be here for so long that they can't countenance going back to the country of their birth. Mm. I've met one woman who I'm writing about this week, a very touching story, a 75-year-old woman, a widow. She stopped working in 1993. She has no paperwork. Why would she have kept bank statements? Her husband died. She explained how they reconfigured the house because he became immobile, so they had to bring a lift for the stairs, they had to change the downstairs bathroom, etc. And in that process, they decided to declutter. He died 5 years ago, and now
she threw out all the paperwork.
All the paperwork. She rang HMRC. Before she did that, they told her that she didn't need to keep paperwork older than 7 years. But her qualifying period under this permanent residency process is a period when she was working, not as a retiree. So she's got to go back to the 80s. And try and get HMRC.
To find the documentation that would prove her right.
Why should she, after 50 years in this country paying taxes and contributing, why should she have to do that?
But I mean, the Home Office does seem to have put a lot of obstacles in people's way, in the way of EU nationals who are applying for permanent residency in this way, don't they? There's also this whole issue of healthcare insurance, which is catching out an awful lot of people.
Well, two things I'd like to say. The last story we wrote was about an EU couple who had two children born in London, and the mother applied on behalf of herself and the two children for permanent residency, and the two children were refused while she was accepted. Now, that was a bureaucratic thing. All that was required there was for the Home Office caseworker to see these are two EU nationals, they're legal here, they're working, they're both teachers, their children, you know,
born here,
are likely to have the same acquired rights as their parents, but they haven't got the school reports sent with the application. Now, it didn't say on the application form that needed that was required. So what the Home Office should be doing is instructing its caseworkers to say, in obvious cases like this, pick up the phone, talk to the person, ask them what the situation is and get them to send in the supplementary data rather than create this misery for them in this period of anxiety.
Rather than this kind of computer says no or civil servant says no approach.
I think with with the carers, I mean, I would love if I could, if any of our readers, listeners who are in this situation, who need comprehensive sickness insurance to establish their treaty rights here and who don't have it and are afraid to apply for PR or afraid of their position post-Brexit, I would love them to get in contact if there are any out there who would happily be photographed and have
their
name, share their story, because it's a cohort of that 3 million that we haven't really examined. And I think that there are an awful lot of very, very worried people in that group.
To what extent does all this echo the concerns of British citizens in the EU? Do we know anything about the kind of process that they may be going through abroad? Is it in many cases an easier process if a British citizen in, for example, Germany wants to acquire sort of permanent residency there?
Well, I had an interesting email from a Briton in Munich this week, and she sent me an application form for, I think it was citizenship, and it was 8 pages long. That's not to say they're not equally worried. There are all sorts of things like pension rights, and I think most worrying for most people is continued health rights, reciprocal health rights, which will disappear. But, you know, in their favour, they have very, very strong support from the European Parliament. The President, Antonio Tajani, was in London last week and made it absolutely plain to us at a press conference that the European Parliament would not support a deal that did not have reciprocal rights.
Yes. Now, I was going to ask about that. I mean, this is potentially a really critical issue in Brexit talks, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, the rights of EU citizens in Britain and British citizens in the EU people. You know, the Brexit negotiators, particularly in the Parliament, are going to take it very, very seriously. Now, to what extent, in that context, is Keir Starmer's proposal of today to sort of unilaterally guarantee EU citizens' rights in Britain, you know, regardless of what comes out in the deal, to what extent might that be a useful tactic, do you think?
Well, I think it's the right thing for Labour Party to do. It's the right thing for the Tory Party to do, of course, and they haven't. And it does politically put clear blue water between the Labour Party and the Tories on one of the few Brexit issues that they're clear about. So you could see a lot of EU citizens voting for Labour as a result, but unfortunately they don't have the vote.
Yeah.
And On that point, neither do Britons we discovered last week, that Britons who lived overseas and in Europe for more than 15 years don't have the vote either. And yet this is an election that effectively is another referendum.
They really are real people, real British citizens living abroad and real EU people living here really do risk becoming the kind of collateral damage in this whole process, don't they?
They do. I think it's the uncertainty that's facing EU citizens. You know, whether they're the retirees that are often quite derided down in the Costa del Sol, they've got rights. They, you know, many of them sold up here in Britain because they could get a cheaper property down there. They've got a pension that's, you know, around €500 a month, and they're living
they can live on that.
They can't live on that here. So I think, you know, we've got to respect everybody in this, and, you know, each individual has their own share of woes, and some people are more sanguine about it and not bothering with the permanent residency and thinking, yes, it will be okay. And if it's not, well, you know,
what's
drag me down the fuselage and take me out of the country.
What is your call on that, finally, then? Do you think this will all come out in the wash?
I would hope so. I think 3 million are a lot of people. You know, the government denies the acquired rights of 3 million people in the UK. There are many tools, I imagine, of disobedience, of striking,
of legal action, presumably.
Including legal action. But I think that the country could be ground to a halt if 3 million decided on Brexit day one that they weren't happy with the deal that Theresa May or Jeremy Corbyn, if he's lucky, swings for Britain.
Okay, well, we wish everybody luck because it's really not a comfortable situation to be in, that's very clear. Thank you very much, Lisa. That's it for this week. Please subscribe and review on all your favourite podcatchers and join the discussion on Twitter. All the info is on this episode's bio. Till next week then, I'm John Henley, the producer is Rowan Slaney, and thank you very much for listening.
For more great podcasts from The Guardian, just go to theguardian.com/podcasts.